Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
We are so lucky and excited today to have one of your favorite people as a guest.
Oh, for God's sake. Just stop it. I'm going to stop it right now. Paige wrote a book, and I got to promo it. But I'll be honest with you. The truth of the matter is I have put Paige in pretty much every book that I have written since and including Master Your Metabolism. Those of you probably know Paige Paget, a.k.a. Paget, as my green beauty expert, and now she can be your green beauty expert. She is here with us today to promote her new book, which comes out September 8th. Hello. The Green Beauty Rules, the essential guide to toxic-free beauty, green glamour, and glowing skin. Hello, Paige.
Hi, Jillian. Thank you. That was a good intro. And thank you, Autumn. I liked yours, too.
Well, if mine was going to be better, Jill just took it over.
It's going to be better.
Yeah, mine was going to be better. Now, guys, I'll be honest. The reason you do need to pay attention and the reason I would have Paige on, even if she wasn't a dear friend and my personal makeup artist and green beauty expert, is because we've often talked about the dangers of chemicals in your food, and I know that on many different occasions, we've mentioned the dangers of chemicals in your makeup, your hygiene products, your beauty products, your whole routine, and that's because your skin is transdermal. So, Paige, would you like to explain that to our peeps?
Yeah, basically, anything you put on your body is absorbed into your body, about 60% of it. It's the reason why hormone replacement therapy works, a patch for birth control, and nicotine cessation. So it hits your bloodstream, it bypasses your liver and your kidneys, it goes right to your bloodstream.
So this is beyond just helping you guys look good. We're trying to keep you from getting cancer, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean it very seriously. And again, as I've said, I've had Paige contribute to every book I've ever written, and thank God she finally wrote a book where she can kind of share with you all the information. And I'm gonna give you a little bit of, about what's in the book in a second. But Paige, can you tell me what did actually prompt you to finally write a book? Because you and I have been working together about 10 years now, and you know, you've been on the show, you've done all kinds of blogs for all kinds of magazines and so on. But what made you go, I'm writing a book?
Well, I've wanted to for years, but what finally did it is I really, you know, I wanted to write a book about chemicals. So many of them had been written, when I really thought about it, I thought, what can really be of service? What can help people the most? And people don't know how to translate chemically safe and eco-friendly products to being glamorous and being able to do beauty looks with them. They still think it's crunchy and granola, and they're not high-performing and all of that. So I thought, that's how I can help people. I can show them that, look, your products are green, and you've done many, many covers in all green products.
Yeah,
so why can't the average person at home do it? And so that's really why I wrote it, is to bring glamour to green and not have it be a gloom and doom book, or have, you know, like a chemistry book, not a heavy read. Easy, fun, and glamorous.
It is easy, fun, and glamorous. And
like you.
I'll give you a couple ideas of what's in there. I'll share a few with you as we go through our questions. But she debunks beauty myths. She has three eco attitudes and how to kind of flow between them, so you can find a program that works for you that isn't rigid or impossible. And then you've got Paige's 80-20 beauty diet, which is so, I'm going to presume that it's like just like the food diet, that like 20%, you know, because some things are hard
to
find.
That's where I got it from you.
Ha ha!
Matt.
Yes.
I'll never admit it again.
But that means that it's like, if there are a few products, like, because I know you say mascara is almost impossible to find pure, right?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you tell me that, like, it's almost impossible to find a completely green mascara?
Oh, yeah, color in general. If there's pigment, it's not hard to find green. It's not going to be organic. Pigments can't be organic because they're, first of all, they're not mined, you know, to find zinc oxides or iron oxides. Pigments are made in the lab, so they can't be organic. Same with water.
Right.
Not grown. Organic is an agricultural term, basically.
Okay, I got it. So essentially what we're giving people here with this whole 80-20 beauty diet is we're allowing them to have some flex room and still be safe.
Exactly.
I like it. All right, now Paige, how did you get into green beauty? You were kind of the first one to be doing this, in all fairness. Like, I know other people have come along, but you've been doing this for like 15 years. How'd you get into this?
Yeah, I was the second, actually. I think it was like 3 months
and
on the hill.
Be sure to cut that from the show,
yeah,
Autumn.
Sorry.
And snip, 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 girl.
Sorry.
What are you doing right now? This woman, so and so, is the first. She's a genius.
You should buy her book.
Buy her book.
She has a book too. Buy it.
I talk about the first one in my book, to be honest.
God!
I know.
Someone needs an editor.
We're friends. But I am a green beauty pioneer for sure. I am one of the top two.
Well, you're not the, obviously. Where is that bitch? Let's get her on the show.
Yeah, I know, right?
She's chopping down a tree somewhere.
I'm the authority, I would say. There are others, but I definitely have set myself apart with this book, and I'm got the.
Well, you didn't answer the question. Instead, you promoted somebody else. A-hole. How did you get into green beauty?
Oh my God!
That was this woman who's a genius. Oh my God.
Chloe's laughing.
Oh God, the other one's there? Just great. No wonder we're not getting anything done. Chloe is there.
I got into green beauty because...
The master of the 45-minute segment. Yeah. Just great. I'm so glad Chloe's there with you.
Green beauty, I have a passion for the environment. I'm very highly concerned about where we're going to be in 50 years or less, perhaps. And even more concerned about the legacy we're leaving for our children. We all have children now. And I also knew I was going to be an older mom, so it became really personal when I realized that I was in my 30s, late 30s, didn't have kids. I knew I was going to, and I knew I was going to be in my late 40s, so I wanted to start taking care of myself. You can only do something about my diet, Jillian.
Your diet's not bad, Paige.
No, it's not.
Now, I'm going to give a few more things. Paige gives you sample green beauty routines. She teaches you the difference between natural, organic, and chemically safe. She teaches you how to use the Environmental Working Group Skin Deep Database. She gives you a 60-second save to quickly identify chemically safe products. Now, before we go on, we're going to ask you this question, Paige. Oh, Padgy. We've also started calling Paige Pag Fagless. As in, like...
But I love your interviewing voice.
I know. Well, this is my, like, pretending like I don't know you, but I want to know two
to three of your favorite products that are in the book. Hit me. Hit me!
My favorite products. I love Jane Eyre lip glosses.
Jane Eyre lip gloss. Mm-hmm.
Well People. Well Bronzer. People.
Bronzer.
And I like their mascara a lot. And who else do I love? Eco Bella blushes.
So I gave you three, but Paige has her top 10 daily use products that you'll also learn. You'll learn the three P's to avoid. Well, do I learn? Need to learn more than this? Perfume, parabens, and petrochemicals. Ha-ha! I just learned it.
Yeah.
Look what I just learned.
Petrochemicals is a big category, so.
It is? Petrochemicals? Isn't that like Vaseline, dude?
Petrochemicals is tough because there are some, yes, it's hard. I mean, they're long words you can't pronounce, but. It's a hard category, but, you know, typically.
You're going to make this easy for us, right, Pager?
What's that?
You're going to make this easy, right? A step-by-step guide. It's easy.
Ooh, I like that. Will you produce it?
You put it down. It's on your page.
This is what you
said. You
sent
like
me.
That because it's in your book, Goofy.
I didn't hear
Sweet
you.
Sweet mother of God. I like that. Well, I would hope so. It's in your book, Mama.
I didn't hear what you said. I thought you said you're going to make a CD for us.
No! A step-by-step guide. And then it says, a list of the top estrogenic chemicals to watch out for. And this is really important, right? Because breast cancer and ovarian cancer are often highly, I'm going to say this wrong, but influenced or they're estrogen sensitive. They're dramatically
True.
Impacted by hormones. So it's
right.
kind of amazing to think that something you could be doing in your beauty routine could affect whether or not you exacerbate or get breast cancer or ovarian cancer, but it can. So it's really important to know that. And even if you're thinking, oh, yeah, right, that's never going to happen. Well, maybe some of you have melasma. That also has to do with having your estrogen out of whack, those dark spots on your face. So, yeah, which is so ironic. The ironic thing about all of this, Paige, is that we buy all these creams and crap for $50 a pop, and they're filled with chemicals that age us, make us sick, and actually make us less beautiful. So,
they do.
Paige is not only going to keep you from dying, she's going to make you look beautiful inside
and out.
Yeah. Where do we get the books, Inky?
And yes, I do. I have 10 beauty looks, and they have step-by-step guide for each look.
Thank you. Where can we buy it? Schmage.
What?
Where do we buy the book?
Crying out loud.
How can we buy the
book? Where do we get the book?
I'm sorry.
Are you drunk already?
It's on pre-sale on Amazon. You can buy it now.
You know where Paige and Chloe are? They're up north with Finucci. Finucci's getting married.
That's right.
They have wine already. Who knows?
Wastoids. That's why they're...
I hear they have a special wedding white.
They do.
Oh,
her dad made.
Her dad made some.
Oh, God.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, isn't it sweet? Who else hates their father in this room? Me. Okay. All right. Paige, mother of God, where can we get the book?
Amazon.com. It's on pre-sale now.
No. Don't say pre-sale because this is going to air after it's sold.
We're going to put it
So just start over. Just say it's going to be on Amazon.com.
It is on.
You
it is
on. You
can
get it on Amazon.com.
Amazon.
Or Barnes & Noble, any bookstore.
And if people wanted to find out more about you, do you have a website, Paige?
I do, PaigePadgett.com. I am Paige Padgett on Instagram, Facebook,
Paige
and Twitter. Paige Padgett.
I am Paige Padgett.
I am Paige Padgett.
It's not the real Paige Padgett.
The real, exactly.
Oh, Nicole just pulled the book up on Amazon just to make sure you weren't lying.
I can't buy it.
It's actually
and
there.
I'm not.
And
She's
you look
not.
Beautiful on the cover, by the way.
Oh,
it's all that green beauty. All right, Stinky. Have fun.
Everyone,
Thanks,
buy
Mama.
Paige's
we'll see
book.
You tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Bye, buddy.
Bye. Bye.
The National Academy of Sports Medicine is looking for people just like you who want an exciting career in the fitness industry. Why not wake up every day and do something you love? Get paid to stay in shape, set your own hours, work in health clubs, sports clinics, corporate wellness. What is going to be more rewarding than helping people, staying healthy yourself, and being in control of your own life? Do what you enjoy. Get paid for it. Plus, NASM guarantees you will land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of earning your CPT certification, or they will give you your money back guaranteed. All you got to do is go to myusatrainer.com, and they will give you a free 14-day trial of their fast and fun online program. That's myusatrainer.com. Let me say it again, people. myusatrainer.com. Some restrictions do apply, so go to myusatrainer.com for details. All righty. Fitness segment. Who wants to do it? Hey, I saw this one. I still can't remember where I find these things, but there was an article by someone named Sherry Perry. That's actually a great name.
I know. Very I loved nice. Her name.
Sherry Perry. Hey, girl. And she had 10 things you shouldn't do before a workout, but I turned it into 8. Because I didn't like 2 of them. But I like these 8. And some might seem obvious. Some are a little less obvious. So I thought, let's go. Here we go. Yeah. 1, alcohol. You think this would be obvious.
Yeah.
Don't get schnockered before you go work out.
Yeah.
But here, other than, dropping a dumbbell on your head. And drinking makes you drowsy. It leaves you dehydrated, which is really bad.
Yeah.
And it narrows your blood vessels, which, of course, is going to make it far more difficult to deliver oxygen to the muscles in order to function. So, mooey mall. Don't get toasty before you work
don't
out.
Don't do it.
El Mistako. Plus, you could, when you're drunk, you could roll an ankle. Don't do that.
Apparently, it's bad for your liver, too, because of, your lipid profile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wish I sounded smarter with that, but that's
so
all I know.
So glad you went to college.
That's all I know.
Hey, you just got us started. Like, that's enough to Google it.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Spicy food. Do not eat spicy food before you work out, so don't put Tabasco on your eggs, because it can cause heartburn during a workout.
Yep, okay. Ugh.
Yeah. Huh. Don't get intimate. Yeah. It says oxytocin is released during sex, which can leave you feeling tired and mellow.
See, I was actually surprised when I read this one.
I
guess it makes
after
sense.
After the gym is when you get your groove on.
Like a little cardio, or a little, you're warm, kind of going, no?
Mm-mm.
No. Right, well, that's another one. I'll jump ahead.
That is another
one. Don't do cardio before you work out, which we've talked about a lot.
Oh, well.
But one of the big warm-up, of course, for like 5 minutes. But don't do cardio before you train, because then you're taking all the sugar out of your blood and you're decreasing your ability to have power.
Yeah, depletion. But I want to get back to sex for a minute.
Go, girl. Okay.
You know how the warriors don't do it? You got to be a warrior. Like, there's all these traditional things that many cultures who go into battle.
Warriors don't have sex?
Not before. Not before the fight.
Well, maybe they also want to just be angry. Yeah. Which is good for the gym, too.
Yeah, you got to go to
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Totally. Afterwards, then the endorphins are going. You're in the mood. You feel frisky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get your pump on.
Yeah. Sleep. It says a short power nap can increase your energy, right? 20 minutes or so. But longer than that, and this person doesn't mention this, but you get into that whole long sleep cycle, and anything longer than that can leave you feeling like drowsy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So either a power nap or not at all.
Disco nap.
Disco. That's right. You know why they call it a disco nap, obviously, right?
No.
Everyone knows this.
I don't.
So that you can stay up to go disco.
Yeah. It's the party nap.
It's the party nap.
Like, you get off work, you take a little disco nap, so you and can then get up, your second bing, wind, bing, bing, and then...
Bing, bing, bing,
bing, bing, see, and I always thought that it was because it was like the duration of a couple dances, and... and then you get up.
I love you, Andy.
But I grew up in Canada. Because
you're Canadian.
It is, because I grew up in a trailer in Canada.
Oh, God.
Help me.
Oh. Okay. If we've talked about this a lot, don't static stretch before you train.
Yeah, don't.
No.
Don't do it.
Here we go. If athletes are put into a stretch state before they work out, they will not do an effective job. This is because when you are working out your muscles, they must contract as intensely as possible, and a static stretch is considered a contraction. So it decreases your muscle intensity. It's been studied. Don't do it. Don't do it. Dynamic stretches are fine, as in like a light set. Right through the movement, a nice light set, a 5-minute cardio warm up. That's the time to do cardio. No static stretching, no long duration cardio. Stimulants. Now, caffeine is a big performance enhancer, but you don't want to take in more than 200 milligrams of coffee, because then you'll actually jack your heart rate up through the roof. It's hard to breathe. She don't think she said that. What did she say? I'm saying that.
You say it.
blah, blah, blah. Moderate levels of stimulants can enhance energy. Yeah, but too much will lead to rapid heart, pain, and anxiety. Is that my problem? Anxiety.
Because I like a nice little coffee before you hit the gym.
Yes. Mm.
What I find ridiculous, though, is when people are drinking a huge, ridiculous one with whipped cream on it, and they're actually on the
500
treadmill,
calories
and it's
later.
In the cup holder. And you're like,
Just because you got it at the coffee shop doesn't mean it's not a milkshake.
Here's my Lucky Jack. Yum, yum, yum.
Mm-hmm. I'm cracked out on that right now.
I need
awesome.
To try one of those.
We have one. You want one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nixter, I'm giving away your coffee. I'm so sorry.
I won't take it.
Take it. She's 26. I don't care about her. Do it. It's so good. This one's serious though, dude. This is the double black.
I want it.
It's... Oh God, no wonder.
Oh yeah.
I have
infused
the jitters.
With organic espresso.
I love this.
Rawr!
Okay, yeah. We've got
all right, last one. Okay. Painkillers. Well, hello, but this doesn't mean that you're popping a Xanax. It means that Oxycontin. They're talking about ibuprofen.
Oh.
I've done a ton of stuff on this about how it impairs muscle recovery and it's terrible for your liver and your kidney. But they say that experts believe it can hurt your workouts because many over-the-counter pain medications like ibuprofen act as muscle relaxers. Badzo. So don't be like, ooh, I'm going to go work out. I'm going to take my Advil and then get a great pump. Not only, you shouldn't take that crap anyway.
No.
It's purely analgesic, but it has a bunch of negative side effects. So, yeah. No, not unless you're like in extraordinary pain and your doctor gives you a reason, and certainly it's addictive too.
And half of the things on this list that you're not supposed to do before exercising, I like to do recreationally, by the way. So if we change the heading of this list, this would be things I do now that the baby's out. Anyways, I digress.
Okay, everybody, podcast fans, for one night only at the Irvine, California Improv on September 23rd at 8 p.m., we are going to be doing a live podcast. So it's pretty much going to be an evening with me. Lots of Q&A, inspiration, information, tons of fun, and the tickets are $25, flat fee, period, end of story. If you want to do a VIP meet and greet, the tickets are $50 and the VIP gets you the best seats in the house. All you gotta do is go, oh my goodness, crying out loud, that's a long link. You go to www.irvine.improv.com/Jillian Live. That's www.irvine.improv.com/Jillian Live.
Or you can go to the podcast page on Facebook.
Oh, and we'll have a link.
And we will have a link there.
Hope to see ya.
So check it out.
All right, guys. So we are very lucky to have a special guest back with us today in the studio.
That's
well,
right.
Well, via telephone.
Studio via telephone.
Studio via telephone. Financial wizard.
Guru.
That's what we're calling you.
Is it wizard?
I like wizard.
Do you like wizard? See, I was wondering if that was too like a wizard. What's a female wizard?
It's kind of like,
wizard?
You know, Harry Potter.
It is.
Harry Potter.
Jean Dumbledore. But see, I was thinking guru, but too many people take that. Should we go with wizard?
Let's go with wizard.
I like wizard. I coined this, Jean.
I'm so sorry, Jean. Please come back. We'll fire her. Please come back.
All right, so financial wizard Jean Chatsky is on the phone with us today, and she is going to help us figure out how we can get rid of our credit card debt.
Autumn, you forgot all the good stuff. NBC, Today Show,
so sorry.
Contributor. She's got JeanChatsky.com, which, by the way, sign up, get the free newsletter.
I do get
thank
the newsletter.
Me. Life-changing. I mean, this woman is, I guess wizard does... Say it all. I mean, best-selling author. Yeah, you got it.
Enough.
All right, sorry. Well, I guess Wizard should have done it. And you were saying Jean is going to help us today with, I mean, dude, is there a way out of this? Let's credit card debt? Come on.
No, there's a way out, but it's not, I mean, anybody who tells you that it's going to be super simple, quick, anybody who tells you they can do a quick fix for you,
yeah.
you've got to just turn the other way, because that stuff is scam city. But there, yeah, of course, there is a very logical way out of debt. It takes a little bit of time, but if you can actually follow the steps, then anybody can do it.
Do you have, first I'd like to ask you, and I'm sure this, I don't mean to take you on a tangent, but what are your top tips to stay out of debt? Like, why do we do this? Why are we spending all this money we don't have?
So my biggest tip to stay out of debt is to make sure you've got an emergency cushion. And an emergency cushion, you know, when people talk about emergency cushions, I think sometimes we scare people off because we start talking about, oh, my gosh, you need to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in the bank in case you lose your job. And that is terrific if you can do it. But what you really need to stay out of credit card debt is $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank, so that if the transmission goes on your car or if the dog has to go to the vet and you don't have the cash, you can just pay for it rather than putting it on a credit card. Those are the kind of things that just, it's the surprises that really drag people down. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, there are some over shoppers out there. They know who they are. They've got to cut it out. And you know, and the best way to cut it out is to just be more mindful of what you're buying. I actually like, and I'll go down this tangent with you, I like the idea of keeping a spending diary, kind of like you keep a food diary. You write down not only what you spend, but then how you feel about it. And you got to revisit how you feel about it a couple of days later and a good, you know, week later, because often you find, oh, I'm not really loving that so much. I loved it in the moment, but if I had my choice 3 days later or a week later, I probably wouldn't buy that. And it helps you not buy it the next time.
Gosh, I've never heard of that.
Me neither. That's a great
tip. If I kept that journal, I don't even want to tell you what it would look like. It'd be like regret, impulse buy. I think I am going to do that, because even though I'm not in financial straits, I still think to myself, like, I will look at things in my closet and just go, you idiot. And it's like that still have the price tag on them that cost, I don't even want to say, I'm embarrassed to say. And I'm like, what were you thinking? Like, what did you get caught up in that moment?
I know. And so with those things, get rid of them. Sell them. Because yeah. you could consign them at a consignment store, but there are all of these Facebook groups now that have sprung up, and there's this app that's sort of taken the same concept national called Close 5, CLOSE 5. But basically, you Google the name of your town and your and the word sale on Facebook, and you're gonna find. There are these shopping groups where you can unload your stuff to people who live in your neighborhood so that they'll actually come pick it up.
That's amazing.
Or, you know, meet you
I know. Look at all the
store.
Space.
I have things to sell.
I have so many things to sell. Oh, my gosh.
I sell stuff all the time. I sold my, you know, when I changed over my kids' bedrooms because they grew up a little bit, I sold their old furniture. I sold my old couch. And it just... You know, and the best part is somebody comes and gets it.
Oh, God. We're not paying. What was the company we paid that we moved? Autumn, do you remember this?
Oh, Got Junk?
I had to call Got Junk and paid them.
To take your stuff that other people probably would have paid good money for. I mean, you may not want people coming to your house, and you, everybody should be safe about this and think twice. And if you don't know the person, meet them in a safe location. But, yeah, it's wonderful how you can just sell your stuff.
God, if you weren't already not my assistant anymore, I would fire you. But she quit on
That's
me.
That's why I'm selling all my stuff.
So I'm sorry for the digression, but that's great advice. And I'm looking at this number. Autumn, did you come up? The average American household credit card debt is $15,863.
Yeah, so that is the average for households with credit card debt. If you only look at the households that carry credit card debt, that's what the number is. If you look at all the households, including the ones that don't have any credit card debt, it's about half that.
Really? Okay. Still, that's so much money, because then it says the median household income in 2014 was only $53,000. $53,891?
Yeah.
For a household?
It's incredible. For a
two
household.
Adults? Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So Jean, what do they do? Because I know that if I was looking at this, I would feel so defeated. I would feel like I was so far in the hole, there was no way out of this.
You know, the best way to deal with it is just one step at a time.
So,
and I say that really purposefully because it's the small steps and the habitual paying it off that'll get you there. And nobody likes this process, right? Paying off debt is not a lot of fun. But once you start to see yourself making progress, you get to feel really good about the fact that you're making progress and that sort of is inspiring, makes you do more, all of that kind of stuff. So the most important thing that you can do is sort of line it up in the right order, and I'll tell you how to do that, and then just chunk it down and pay it down over time.
All right, we're ready.
I'm
ready. I'm taking notes for people I know. Okay, number one.
Number one, lower your interest rates.
How?
So if your credit cards are, if your credit score is decent.
Okay.
And by decent, I mean over 720.
Oof, what's good then? I thought that would be really good.
That's really good, right?
Okay.
660 or above is good. 720 or above is really good, and 760 or above is great.
Got it.
But once you're above, you know, once you're in the sevens, you can transfer the balances on the credit cards that you already have to lower interest rate cards. You can certainly try to call your card companies and ask them if they'll lower the balances on your cards. Some will do it, some won't do it.
Okay.
It's worth a shot.
Got
but
it.
You can look online. There are a lot of websites like cardhub.com and creditcards.com where they have lists of the best balance transfer cards out there. And so you transfer your balance or as much of it as you can to a card with a very low interest rate, and then you will be able to pay it off faster.
Okay.
So step number one is lower your interest rates.
And okay, I'm doing this again. I'm so sorry.
Is this
something that we should also look at for our homes?
Yeah. If you haven't lowered the interest rate on your home, a lot of people, because interest rates have been so low for so long, have already refinanced their mortgages. But if you're not in the mid-threes and you've got a good credit score and you think you're going to be refinancing your mortgage is not a no-cost transaction. It actually costs something.
Okay.
So you've got to be in the house long enough to make it pay off.
Oh, so that's a much bigger deal. Got it. I got it. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was easy like this. I was like, well, wait a second.
Should I
just do this?
What you can do, and this is brand new, is you can refinance your student loans. There are so many people with, you know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt. And within the last year, really, it may have been a little bit longer, but not much. You can even refinance federal student loans. And so there are people out there who've got student loans sitting at 6-7% that they can now refinance into the threes.
Wow.
Which is incredible. The companies to look at, the one who's sort of leading the charge here is called SoFi, S-O-F-I, .com. It stands for social finance. Now, the trick with them is that they're only really working with college graduates, and you have to have income, so you got to have a job.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'm so sorry. I know I take you off track. So we, if we have a decent score,
lower our interest rate.
We can lower the interest rate on the card. And does this mean that we're consolidating all of our debt? Because I see that stuff on TV in the middle of the night, like, to call us and, you know, we'll consolidate all your debt. And
no.
Should you call those guys? Is that
don't
baloney?
Don't call those guys.
Aha!
A balance transfer is different than a debt consolidation.
Got it.
I mean, consolidate just means put it all together. So if you've got if you've got three or four different credit cards that are making up this $15,000 of household credit card debt you have, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got, and you can open a balance transfer card where they'll take all that debt, and your debts are at like anywhere from 10 to 15%, and they'll take it at zero or something close to it, then you can consolidate it all on one balance transfer card.
Okay.
But it's not a debt consolidation loan.
Got it. Okay. Aha. Now I understand. I'm sorry. Okay. So all right. So then would that be number two?
No. So that's still number one, lower your interest rate.
Got it.
Number two is rank your interest rates. So you want to figure out, in terms of all the debts you're carrying, you want to rank them highest interest rate to lowest interest rate. So if you've got, just make a list. I've got this credit card at 15%. I've got this one at 12. I've got this one at 9. I've got this one at 6. I've got a car loan at 5.9. I've got a student loan at X, and I've got a mortgage at X. Just make a list.
Okay. And then off of this list, we obviously are going to address the one with the highest interest rates first, then.
Right. That's right. Now, there are other people out there who will tell you to knock off the smallest debt first.
Really? Why?
Because psychologically, there is this boost that comes with knocking off a debt, like getting rid of it completely.
Okay.
But from a math perspective and a money perspective, it makes much more sense to just knock off the highest interest rate first. So you pay off the highest interest rate first, because the way to think about this is that the interest rate is really equal to the return on your money. So if you pay off a debt at 10%, that's like a 10% return on your money.
Wow. I have a question.
It's insane, that interest rate. Go ahead, Autumn.
I have a question about the rank your interest rates, how we're paying in order. So if we are paying the highest one first, I was reading somewhere the other day and I didn't quite understand this. They suggested paying multiple times over the course of the month rather than your one payment, because, and this is so beyond what I understand, so help me, Jean.
So that's a credit score thing.
Oh, so that's
not a balance thing. It's one of the things, and we can talk if you want about the factors in your credit score. But
I was thinking, I was already like, okay, this is the next segment I'm going to beg her to do. would be credit score and cleaning that up. But sorry, go ahead.
So one of the factors in your credit score is something called utilization. It's essentially how much of the credit you have available to you that you're actually using. So let's say you've got one credit card and you've got a $10,000 credit limit on it. And this is a heavy duty spender, but you go out and you spend $5,000 in a single month, or you buy a big ticket item. You're using 50% of your credit, the 50% that's available to you. That's too much from a credit scoring perspective. For a good credit score, you don't want to be using any more than 30% of the credit that you have available to you. So if you go out and you make a big purchase and you don't want your credit score to take a hit or get knocked down even a little bit, mm-hmm. one way to deal with that is just to pay the bill a couple of times so that you are using less credit consistently over the course of the month.
Okay.
Okay. I have, I'm so sorry. I keep doing this to you, but it keeps
me. No, it's okay.
So
totally fine.
I only have an Amex that I pay every month and a bank card with a little Visa thing on it. And should I have another credit card so that my credit's...
No, so your Visa card... Oh, is your Visa card a debit card?
Yeah. Am I a loser? I'm a loser.
No, you're not a loser.
Do I need a... Oh, no!
You're not a loser. My guess is it's fine, and Amex has probably... Although Amex is a charge card,
right.
Not a credit card.
So then I technically don't have a credit card, do I?
Well...
Do I? And my score is going to suffer.
No, Amex...
Oh my God!
Probably back-ended you into a credit card. And like, you may have credit with American Express and not know it. I would pull your credit report and just look at what's showing up there.
Got it. All right. Because I was just, when you said the, you know, my available credit, I was like, I don't think I have any.
I'm sure you have some.
Okay.
And you may have. You may have your credit score may otherwise be fine because you've done things like purchased a home
Got
and
it.
Bought a car and and that sort of stuff. If your credit score is fine, then you're okay with what you've got.
Got it. Okay. So I won't add a card. All right. Sorry. Back to we've ranked our cards and now we're gonna be smart about this and we're gonna pay off the most expensive first. That's the one we're focusing on.
Right. So you are going to make minimum payments on every card but that one with the highest interest rate.
Oh.
And then you're going to throw any extra money that you have over the course of that month to that card with the highest interest rate. So you're going to put all your muscle against paying that one down.
Got it. Okay.
And then once it's done, you're going to move on to the next one. Now, if you're working on your credit score at the same time, I wouldn't close the card that you finished paying off unless it has a big annual fee.
Oh, so you have more available
credit. Because closing
cards
affects your utilization. And if you're working on your score, you don't want to do that. If you're not working on your score, if your score is fine and it's not the oldest card in your wallet, then if you're thinking you might want to get rid of it, it's probably okay to do. But I wouldn't get rid of, you know, many all at one time. That's a nice way to sort of kick your score to the curb.
Really?
Oh,
we gotta do. All right. This whole credit score thing.
Credit
score, because I would think, oh, I'm done with this. I want to remove temptation and chop those suckers into pieces.
You can chop them up. You can put them in the freezer. You can do whatever you need to do so that you don't actually use them.
Okay.
But getting rid of them all at once is a mistake.
Wow. Okay. How crazy. Okay. Got it. All right. So we are keeping it, not getting rid of it right away unless we have a ton of cards and it's not our oldest card. And I mean, and then we just keep attacking it this way.
Just keep attacking it this way. And when it's done, you move on to the next one and you put all your muscle behind that. And, yeah, and don't worry about, you know, tackling the mortgage like this or tackling even the student loan debt like this, because those are tax deductible and, you know, it's okay to pay those off on the schedule that you have. This is really a plan for credit card debt.
Okay, that's good that you said that, because I was thinking about, I was like, oh, I wonder, you know, if I should. Because I have, like, and again, I've been told, like, leave X amount of money on this house so you can write it off and all of that. But isn't it only, like, $1 million or up to a million?
Yeah, 1.1 is, you know, up to 1.1 is what you count for the interest deduction.
Okay.
But, you know, the interest deduction assumes that you're still paying interest, right? So
yeah.
I think the whole, I mean, yes, it's a nice deduction to have, particularly if you don't have a lot of deductions. But for people who are getting close to retirement, I'm a big fan of trying to pay off the mortgage.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because when your income falls, which is what happens when you stop working,
right,
or stop working as much, because a lot of people these days are working in retirement, they're just not working as much as they were during their regular lives.
Right.
Then not having the responsibility of a mortgage is a really nice thing.
Autumn put this down here. I've never heard of this. A predatory interest rate? What is that? Is that real?
Yeah, so...
What is that? Why did you write it? Never heard of this before.
Well,
this sounds horrible! What is this thing?
They're just very, very high interest rates, and they're it's a term that's sort of meant for lenders that prey on people who can't afford to get credit in other ways. So you saw predatory lending in payday loans, for example, can often be thought of as a predatory loan. Some payday lenders charge, you know, way, 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 way too much, hundreds of thousands, you know, hundreds in interest, hundreds of percent. I'm not speaking correctly, but the interest rate is up in the hundreds.
God.
When you look at it over an annual basis.
And, I mean, we should avoid those at all costs, correct?
Look, they're not all as... I'm not a fan of
payday
lenders.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. Got it. Okay. Because Adam had marked that, and I was like, what the heck is that?
Well, I learned some lessons the hard way in my youth. So I just... That's why I'm aware of it.
I hear you.
I've learned a lot of
horrible lessons.
Monetary lessons
club.
Over the course
Jeez.
Of these years.
Yeah, and you know what? We all have, because nobody teaches us this.
No.
Teaches us this stuff. I mean, I learned it because I got into credit card debt. So it's not...
Really? Wait, back up. The wizard?
I got into credit card debt right out of college. I wanted to look good for my new job, and so I spent too much money, and I ate out too often, and I really didn't manage myself on a budget, and... You know, it was the late 80s. I wasn't making a lot of money. And so it was really easy to get into trouble.
How did you get into this then? What's the origin? What's the creation story here?
I just got into it through work. I started in a job where I was reporting on money, and I got really interested in it, and I decided if I was going to write about this, then I had to... be able to do it myself, essentially. And you know, it took a while. It was certainly not instantaneous or overnight, and I've made a number of mistakes along the way, as we all do.
Yeah, of course.
But you learn from them, and you try to figure out what you did wrong and then not do it again.
Jean, I cannot thank you enough. This has really been so helpful. And I try not to abuse our guests. We only have a handful that we love so much. And maybe next time you could come on and we could talk about credit score.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
because I got some questions about this. Definitely opened up a few questions about that. So and right now, let's tell everybody where they can get more from you. So go to jeanchatzky.com right now. JeanChatzky.com. Sign up for the free newsletter. You will be so glad that you did. You've got finance information, free tips, free advice. It's an incredible resource. Do not miss out on it. And Jean, what book would you recommend based on the of yours, of course, based on today's segment? Because all of them are great.
Oh, thanks. The book I'd recommend is called Pay It Down. And it's a book about getting out of debt. And it's the book, I don't know if anybody saw The Debt Diet on Oprah's show.
Yes.
Gosh, it's been almost 7-8 years ago now. But that book was the basis for The Debt Diet.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
Of course
I didn't
it
even
was.
Realize that.
Yeah. No, I didn't
I'm sorry,
realize that
Jean.
Either. Thank you for everything. We are extremely grateful, Wizard.
And, oh, my pleasure. And, always fun to be with
and,
you guys.
And credit score. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Jean.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.